Welcome to Dead Man's Party. Nostalgic reviews from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. With your hosts, Chris, Alex, and the Ghoul. Who could ask for more? Don't run away, it's only them.
It's time to get FUBAR with Dead Man's Party. We are here reviewing Tango and Cash 1989. I am here with the guy who says that this whole thing fucking sucks. Chris, what's up, man?
Morning, governor.
And this guy does not know that ponytails are out this year. The Ghoul. What's up, Pat?
What's up? I was going to do the fucking sucks thing, but you took the fucking steam right out of me.
Are you kidding?
I was going to say, I was like, I can't say it as eloquently as him, but this whole
thing.
This
is me and the Ghoul right here.
Directors Andrei Cholakovsky and Albert Mangoli. Dude, you gotta see these names. This is not me. It's these people.
I love hearing you read names, dude.
It's Konkalovsky, actually. It's not my fault. How come, where's the names like Smith and
Joe Smith?
Yeah.
Bob Davis.
Here we go. Writer, Randy Feldman. See, I could do that. Because I grew up with Corey. we got Sylvester Stallone, Kurt Russell, Terry Hatcher, Jack Palance, Brian James, James Hong, Michael Pollard, who is from Sleepaway Camp 3, Robert Zadar, who's Maniac Cop.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about the only people I feel like mentioning. Yeah, Tango and Cash. So, where are we in Stallone's career at this point?
This is clearly the point in Stallone's career where he was like, okay, I'm done being Rocky, I'm done being Rambo, I'm done being Marion Cobretti. I'm going to do a complete 180 here.
Right.
Because the first image you see of Stallone, he's wearing a suit, he's got the little circle glasses, his hair's all brushed back. It's a shocking visual to see when you're used to seeing all the other characters he played up to this point. Even something like, you know, did you ever see Nighthawks from like 81?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he just always played these rugged type characters. And then this movie, he's like Mr. Prim and Proper.
Well, he already did Over the Top, Rambo 3, Lock Up. So now we're at Tango and Cash, and Rocky 5 comes out right after this. And then it's followed by Oscar, Stop or My Mom Will Shoot. Then he makes a comeback with Cliffhanger and Demolition Man and The Specialist, Judge Dredd. Then he goes into that in 95. So, yeah, but yeah, this is surrounded... He's in a weird spot in his career. I think here he was trying to be a little more contemporary again and get out of the Cobra stuff, like you said, and do movies that the general public would like. He even goes as far as to say in this movie, Rambo is a pussy because he wants to be edgy and self-aware and all that stuff.
No, it's being stupid.
It's almost like he kind of wanted to
distance himself.
Yeah, he was so tired of it, but it's like, yeah, that's like such like a shameful thing to do, like in a kind of like kind of, it's like kind of fucked up.
Yeah, he wanted to like mock the roles he had played prior to this movie.
Yeah.
And show people like, hey, I can play a quote unquote straight laced type character.
Right. Hey guys, I know this is stupid too. Now watch me do a real character. Like, no one's gonna remember Tango for the next 50 years. They're gonna remember Rambo, bro. You get an opening scene where they stop a tanker full of cocaine, which he puts a bullet in, and the coke pours all over the street.
The two guys in the truck go flying out the windshield like those crash test dummies on those commercials that used to run all the time back in the 90s. Just shoot out like they were fucking shot out of a cannon, bro. Straight through the windshield.
Yeah, and like, and who stopped the truck? Right? Like, they jammed on the brakes, went through the windshield. What, did he also put it in park? Put it in neutral and hit the air brake, too? Like, how did the truck stop moving if there was no one behind the wheel after they went through the windshield? Did anybody think of that? Right, so dumb. So,
well, this is the way of establishing both characters of this movie. You know, it's a catchy name, I guess. Tango and Cash seems like it'll be a cool movie. But you just find out, no, it's just Ray Tango and Gabriel Cash. And
I didn't even know their first names.
So you get that as the opening for him, where he's such a badass cop. No one believes him. The truck's empty, asshole, and all that stuff. And then he shoots it. Everyone expects each other to die, because there's usually gasoline in there or whatever.
Yeah.
And Coke comes out.
I love that he, like, tastes it to, like, ensure it. I'm like, I don't think that's allowed.
Yeah, my tongue is numb, guys. It's not sugar.
Anyone want to try?
Yeah.
Just like, glad you could drop in. You like jewelry? Fuck you. I prefer blondes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, this is what we're going for here.
Right. Cash has this thing where this flat-top Chinese guy, he goes to look in a mirror, and this guy comes through the mirror.
Like, yeah, he just shoots through. One of my notes is like, his intro is like, it kicks off right away. Like, he's driving in, all the kids in his neighborhood are like chasing after, like, they love him, like, he's this neighborhood hero. And then he's just checking himself out, and literally 3 seconds of him looking in the mirror, he shoots through the mirror with this big ass revolver, and then it's just fucking on from there. It's insane.
I will say, what do you guys think of let's take away whatever you might not like,
then I'm done.
Do you think that Stallone and Kurt Russell, do you feel that they really brought those characters to life? It felt lived in.
No, I thought Kurt Russell did a good job. I thought Stallone was horrible. It felt mechanical. It felt wooden to me. It felt forced. His character did not work for me at all.
Yeah, I agree. Kurt Russell knows the movie that he's in. Stallone does not.
But isn't that the point, though? Isn't he supposed to be a suit and tie guy?
Well, that's fine. I don't care if it's the point. It's his delivery and his portrayal. I thought his delivery of one of the 8,000 one-liners they tried to shoehorn in this movie, he has no comedic timing. His delivery was off. It just doesn't work for me, the comedy they were going for.
He's like, Stallone's almost trying to do like what he did, or what he ends up doing 7 years later in Copland, but in this movie, but that doesn't work.
Whereas in something like Demolition Man, which has a lot of one-liners also, I felt like in that movie, it felt more natural coming from him. But in this movie, it just felt really, really forced and exaggerated.
Well, Jack Palance is the head bad guy named Perrette.
He is hamming it up right away. Tango, he's done it to us again.
They're driving Tango, by the scene Cash, of the crime in
Cash,
a limo.
Tango and Cash. It's like, what the fuck, dude?
I just love that the three bad guys, though, are cruising up on the cocaine bus in the limo. Like,
in a limo, yeah.
Like, why are they, what are they, are they following this one, like, why would they care that much about this one delivery? Tango and Cash and Tango. Two rats.
That guy knows what movie he's in. He is chewing up the scenery in every scene he's in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And he does it perfectly.
Yeah, Palance always plays a really good bad guy, too, so.
Yeah, so, I mean, I know he's obviously, or at that point, he'd been an actor forever, but I didn't see this movie for about 20, until like 20 years after it came out. And at that point, I only knew him from City Slickers and Young Guns, where he plays the main bad guy.
Yeah,
which
yeah,
he's
right.
Fucking up. Lights out in that movie.
Well, this year he was in Batman too, right?
Oh, fuck, is he?
Yeah, right?
That's so weird. I've seen that movie so many times, but for some reason I don't remember that.
Yeah, it's a weird, like, he's there. He's the basically the head.
He's Grissom.
The head mob boss. Yeah, the head.
Oh,
mob boss.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You're right. Does he have a mustache in that movie?
No. He was like, you are my number one guy.
Okay.
Remember that?
Yeah. We got to do that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine being in your house looking in a mirror and someone comes through the fucking mirror? I thought that was only supposed to happen like when you turn the lights off, say Bloody Mary 3 times in the dark.
Or Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah.
So they get framed for killing somebody. I don't know.
FBI informant.
Yeah, an FBI informant. They get 18 months minimum security. We get that great court scene that we reference where Kurt Russell's like, this whole thing fucking sucks. And all this stuff. That was pretty funny. So they get in there and then they're taking showers together, nude, and Tango thought Cash was trying to suck him off. And he's like, whoa, what are you doing? And he's like, relax, soap. And he goes, I don't know you that well. Dude.
What does he say? He calls him Pee Wee or whatever.
Yeah, Pee Wee, yeah. He goes, it's cold in here. Or something, I don't know. So as they're, well, you guys thought Death Warrant was a bad prison. They're walking through prison here.
This place is hell on earth.
The cells are on fire. There's trash and newspapers just raining down on them from everywhere. It's like, are we supposed to take this seriously?
It looks like hell on earth, right? Like, who could survive a day here?
Can we backtrack to, like, all the courtroom stuff? Why are these guys in the newspaper all the fucking time? Like, these, like, no newspaper, I mean, at that time, I don't think they're, like, posting, like, oh, these two hero cops are just, like, always in the news.
Another bust.
And when that fat guy's on the stand, Stallone says, when this is over, we're going to have to pay Jabba the Hutt here a visit.
Yeah.
And Kurt Russell says, I'll bring the chainsaw. And Stallone says, I'll bring the beer.
You know what's funny? They never go back to that one guy. They never find him. When they're finding all the people that were involved, they don't go back to that one guy.
The fat guy, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right. That fat guy is from Total Recall. Do you remember him? He wanted to give him the pill.
Right.
And then he had the bead of sweat running down the side of his head. So, yeah, the litter and fire was unbelievable. Would you rather be in this prison or the one with Sandman in it?
Oh. Well,
I actually like the Sandman one. At least I can fuck a tranny if I'm there.
I was going to say, you got Sandman and the trannies in that one, but then you have literal hell on this other one where everything's on fire.
I'm just not, my physical build is just not meant for any environment like jail, so I'm killing myself before I even get sentenced.
What are you, like 150 pounds?
probably less than that, yeah.
Oh, you'd be dead. You'd be raped and dead, dude.
I'm too pretty for jail.
You really are. I was going to say, you're really good looking for a guy named the Ghoul.
In that courtroom scene when fucking Asian Chet with the fucking flat top is on the stand.
Chet!
And yeah, Kurt Russell goes, ah, the son of a bitch can speak English. I'm telling you, the scarecrow can talk. What is a square crow? That's what he calls him.
Yeah, his head is square.
I listen to it. Is that what that is?
I think that's what that is.
I googled that term and like 50 different definitions came up. I've never heard that in my life. Square crow.
I like how Chris spent like 10 minutes on that one line, and he got no result. The scarecrow could talk.
Oh,
that's great. So when you're walking through prison, and then you get to the guy that they keep calling Conan. With the big jaw. Why is the camera right on his face? Like, is there a tripod set up in front of his cell that is zoomed in exactly where he likes to stand, and it's right on his face? Did you guys notice how bizarre that is?
When they showed that guy, my first thought was, are you kidding me? Is this guy supposed to look real? Like, I was like, that's what he looks like in real life.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know that. I thought this is the dumbest fucking prosthetic I've ever seen. And that's what he looks like.
That's all.
I looked him up and he was in a ton of other movies.
Maniac Cop.
I've never seen those.
Oh, wow. Really? That has Tom Atkins and Bruce Campbell.
Yeah, they're...
It looks like Jay Leno with that fucking chin.
Oh, yeah.
That was like his M.O.
He looks like something in a Marvel movie.
He's like, you broke that jaw? Yeah.
Yeah.
How did you break that jaw? I don't think Ivan Drago could break that jaw.
And Stallone's like, oh, I loved you in Conan the Barbarian. And again, if I wouldn't have been reviewing this movie, I would have shut it off right there.
Well, I think that's him and Arnold were still battling it out at that point.
Well, yeah, just like in Twins, when Arnold sees that poster of Rambo and he flexes and points and goes, ah.
Yeah, right.
They were having like that back and forth thing.
When Cash gets into his cell and the guy goes, that crapper is mine. And he goes, what do you expect me to use? He goes, I don't give a shit. don't use that. And he goes, let's get one thing straight, pal. And the guy gets up, and he's twice the size of Kurt Russell, and he goes, that is yours.
As soon as I heard that guy's voice, I knew who it was before I even saw him.
Who is it?
That big black guy. He's just been a bit character in like a bunch of movies over the years. As soon as they played his dialogue, I knew who it was. That guy is enormous.
Well, I know who Ron Howard's brother was as soon as I saw his face.
Yeah, well, yeah, you can't forget that fucking face.
I'm not afraid of you, you know.
He's playing with a slinky.
He's like, I kill people. He's like, okay, that's great. Good for you. Yeah, he throws the slinky at his newspaper and pulls it
back.
That actually
made me laugh. Because he's just sitting there reading the paper and he throws the fucking slinky on it and rips it away.
And he keeps that little piece of paper and finishes the words.
Yeah.
They definitely got a lot of good, like, physically oddball-looking character, like, actors for the X-ray inmates. That was pretty good. But
for sure.
What I love about the Robert Zadar guy, the chin guy, is that he's so physically imposing, but they spend this whole movie showing that he is a complete fuck-up at every aspect of, like, fighting and, like, trying to be, like, intimidating. Like, when he's in the cell and he just grabs him and just yanks his head forward and bashes him. And then he's just like, doing his freak out thing. And I'm like, oh my god, this guy's so, it's just absurd. I love it.
We watched two movies in a row where a guy reaches through the bars of a cell and pulls the guy's face to the bar.
The classic prison move, I guess.
Yeah, I guess it's a thing. We gotta keep watching these prison movies. Except for Lock Up, apparently. So they bag them in the middle of the night, throw them down laundry chutes. Cash doesn't want to be killed by an immigrant jerk-off with a ponytail. He wants to be killed by an American!
That fucking ponytail guy, he's got the worst fake British accent I've ever seen.
Yeah, that Cockney.
I thought he was...
Wanker!
I thought he was supposed to be Australian, and then when they said he was from British, I was like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it took me a while. I was like, is he supposed to be Australian, Irish, British?
Yeah. Which sucks, too, because I really like that actor, because he's in all sorts of stuff, but he's like plays much more sophisticated characters.
Yeah, he's in one of Alex's favorite movies ever, 48 Hours.
And Cabin Boy.
And Blade Runner.
Cabin Boy. We are doing Cabin Boy one day, just so you know. So the two of them battle everyone. And it is really interesting. Like, they are kicking ass. Did you guys like that fight before they got the dog pile on them? Like,
oh, they're wasting everybody.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It was great.
Kurt Russell slides under that guy's legs and throws that uppercut right in his nuts.
I was just saying, yeah, at least the set pieces and the like fights are really enjoyable. I'll give it that. But that prison stuff is awesome. I just love the typical, like, yeah, we're about to execute them. And of course, someone has to get, what was Jack Palance's character's name? Perrette or something like that.
Perrette.
Yeah, Perrette. He gets in there and then it's like a whole show. I'm just like, oh, this is just like an enjoyable part of the movie for me.
I'm going to say I'm on board from the opening scene to now. And I'm into it right to the end of the prison escape. Once they land off the wire.
Yeah,
I'm on board. I don't know. It's Chris. Are you still on board at this point? You said you would have already turned it off.
No, I was never on board.
What scene?
What are you talking
turned
about?
You off? The very first scene at Rambo's a pussy. Is it?
When he said Rambo's a pussy, I would have shut it off.
Walks out of the theater. I'm done.
Well, let's make believe you didn't care about Rambo and that didn't bother you. What scene after that would you have turned it off? Don't say the next scene.
I don't know. It just. Ugh, it just doesn't work for me. Sorry.
All right.
But let's talk about it. Let's ham it up.
Yeah, ham it up like Jack Palance.
Yeah.
So.
No, I agree. I would still be on. I'm still on. I guess I'll never go completely off board with this movie for certain reasons. But yeah, no, as far as like keeping me engaged, I'm still definitely in on this point.
Yeah, me too, for sure. So I like when Cash gets lowered, you see Tango. He's like, Cash! You could see that they already bonded before he gets electrocuted. So it was cool to see, because, you know, they're like oil and water in the beginning. And
well, because Kurt Russell in this one almost feels like he's playing his character from Big Trouble in Little China again.
Yeah.
So I think that's like, that's not a bad thing either. Like, I think that works. Like, you need, not just because of like Stallone himself, but because that his Stallone's character requires the more like off the cuff kind of crazy cop, whatever you want to call it. I think Kurt Russell, that he's like perfect.
Yeah, for sure. He hooks up with his buddy Matt, that he's a CO, 15-year long friend, and he says you two gotta escape.
Well, the cool thing I like about this movie is that I like that all of their cop like cohorts and friends, they don't turn on them. They believe they were set up. They just don't know how and like can't find their. But I really like that like these guys are rooting for them. So that's why they were like, the implication I guess with this friend Matt would be like, yeah, get out and go clear your name. But that's gonna be fucking tough to do when you got all these lunatics chasing after you. But yeah, I really like that the cops are like rooting for them guys, because any other movie they would have just been like, oh, I knew that he was dirty from like whatever. So right. But.
And they even have tapes of them saying, oh, you're going to love this, and shooting the guy and all this stuff and talking like dirty cops and everything. Like, they were using artificial intelligence in 1989 to take the people's voices and then just throw that over and change that and make them say anything they want. Like, that didn't even exist back then, I don't believe.
No, I mean, yeah, it definitely seems like a, like... creepy prediction for how the future can go, because that's the type of shit that could definitely happen now.
Now you could easily do it. Absolutely. They already do it.
Yeah.
But back then, you couldn't make Stallone and Kurt Russell say whatever you want. Like, that's just the most bizarre technology that they had to set them up. But so, since it's so bizarre, you would, if you had those tapes, nobody should believe them that they didn't kill this guy.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah, they go to escape. Matt's throat gets cut, and he gets thrown down that ramp. And Conan and the guards found out about the escape, and they're going to stop these guys. But Stallone's not even on board with the escape until he just shows up to stop the propellers.
I don't understand that. Like, why was he like, this is your chance to go out and, like, clear your name, but you want to stay in this fucking place where you know these guys are just going to end up trying to kill you every single day?
Right.
So they're in the process of, or they're breaking out of the prison. Kurt Russell does a fucking swan dive off the side of the building, grabs on to that electrical cable or whatever it is, in the rain, after having jumped, what, 20 feet, 30 feet, whatever it was. Do you know how much fucking upper body, forearm, and grip strength you would have to successfully grab that and hold yourself on that? When it's wet... And then jump that far?
And then use one arm to throw the thing over and then grab it back again.
Like, as if you're not so tired, now you can let go and this one hand's going to hold you while you do that, then grab it. Like, what the fuck?
And then you just zip line down, fall to the ground like 50 feet.
On your back, right.
Oh.
Yeah, and you're fine.
And you're like 40 years old.
And then fucking Jay Leno is dragging around Stallone by this giant fish hook that's wrapped around his foot.
Come here, doggy.
Oh, yeah, the one thing he did almost right. So when he says you don't know anything about electricity, do you? If you have... So that is true, because you can hold one wire, and if you're not going to ground and it's only one phase, you're good. The only way that would go wrong is if you cross phases and you grab two different phases, then you would be dead, because they have a different potential.
Just like in Ghostbusters, don't cross the streams.
Yeah. Or just like when you're, like, pissing with your buddy in one of those big troughs. They do the wire thing. Stallone jumps, and their hands land perfectly on the wire, too. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
His arm doesn't even go around it, then he has to adjust. Like, they are fucking perfect.
Clutch it perfectly. Yeah.
Amazing.
But, yeah, and Stallone electrocutes fucking chin guy. And that guy starts screaming like fucking Marv on Home Alone. And Kevin puts the tarantula on his face. Ah! Like, it's ridiculous.
Wow, that was good. That was like an identical pitch. Oh my god.
Well, it's funny too, because then he yells Tango's name as he's dying.
Yeah!
He still can't. All that's on his mind.
That's what I'm saying. Like, no coherent thoughts would be going through your brain at that point.
You're like, oh, God, this hurts. I go, Tango!
And Stallone does the exact same swan dive off the building, grabs the cable just like Kurt Russell does, falls to the ground, and as he's getting up says, that was fun.
And no guards see them do this, even though everyone's on high alert. I think that was the high point of the movie. I should have marked the minute mark, but I didn't think to do it. But I'm going to guess we're halfway through the movie at this point.
Probably, yeah.
I think it's like the 40-minute, 40-plus-minute mark, yeah.
So I think this is where the movie gets into a little bit of a lull. You meet the Owen guy who does all the weird, like, weapons and the vehicles with the weapons on it. The guy from Sleepaway Camp 3 who hooked up...
Gabe, you're gonna like this, Gabe.
Yeah. Look at this dog that's head explodes when it does something.
So he's in Sleepaway Camp 3?
Yeah, he banged that hot Spanish girl in the tent. She was like...
Wouldn't that have been, like, the same time as this movie?
Yeah, right? 86, 87. Yeah, about 2 years ago he did that.
I never saw those sequels, so I only know
really?
Him...
Really?
No, never. No, all I know him from is Scrooged with Bill Murray, which is my favorite Christmas movie of all time. He's in that.
Oh, yeah? Wow. Yeah, I didn't see that one.
Yeah, I know.
Alex's face after you said that.
Your favorite Christmas movie of all time.
Get this, Alex isn't a Bill Murray fan. He likes Brian Doyle Murray, the brother, better.
Yeah, right? The Griswold's boss, remember?
Oh, my God.
Put an X to the others, Greaseball.
Yeah, he's way better than Bill Murray.
Oh, yep. My God.
That's what everyone thinks. Yep, you're right.
So he finds the guy who switched the guns. They wanted him dead. The guy who drops the spaghetti on the ground.
Yeah,
and then...
Louis Arquette.
Yeah.
He's David Alda Arquette, the dead.
Right. And then the car explodes. He's dead. So then they found the guy who created the fake tapes of their voices. He starts, like... shooting his equipment. He's like, stop it! This is state-of-the-art stuff!
This guy is such a cartoon character. It's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, even just the way he's... like, the facial expressions that he makes, and then with the way he talks, I'm like... He seems like he's, who's the... one of the nerdy guys? I think he turns into a fly from,
Oh, Baxter Stockman.
Yes, yeah. Seems like him. Like...
He would have been a good Baxter Stockman. Hey, who are you? What are you doing here?
Yeah, this guy was just hamming it up and just taking his... 5 minutes of fame and going for it.
Oh yeah, he's. I'm gonna stare in the mirror and practice my part for like weeks before I get on film. And I'm gonna get everything. I'm gonna have 26 facial expressions by the time that scene is over. You watch.
What's with when they cut back to Jack Palance at his office and he's like making out with those mice? Like, what is it? What is he doing? What is the purpose of those fucking mice?
Did he buy those to do that? Exhibit
to show like in the
he's
beginning,
like,
yeah,
kissing it almost.
Yeah, I was expecting him to like feed them like when he goes over to like the thing, feed them to a snake or something. Be like, this
yeah,
is what's gonna happen to them?
Yeah, at first when he was holding both of them, I thought he was gonna crush them,
yeah,
like
right,
he wanted
yeah.
to like quote unquote crush Tango and Cash.
Yeah,
but then he just put them back in the box, and I was like, where is this fucking going?
Yeah, Palance's character is super weird in this.
It went nowhere.
It's like this whole movie.
Terry Hatcher's in this movie. She's Tango's sister, Catherine.
God damn, she is hot in this movie.
Yeah, people don't know her. She was in Desperate Housewives, Caroline, Spy Kids, and Tomorrow Never Dies.
She was definitely blew up in the 90s because of her episode of Seinfeld that she was on.
Right.
Yeah.
Kurt Russell cross-dresses, and he looks ugly as fuck, dude. I don't know if it's his hair, his face. Like, this cop... wanted a three-way with him and Terry Hatcher, and I'm like,
I love how the camera, they start on his high heels and slowly pan up while that glorious fucking 80s saxophone music is playing, and then shows him with his makeup
and he's smoking,
goes over to the motorcycle, and the cop just goes real casually, any chance of a three-way?
Yeah, just wait for it. And then the other guy, his like superior comes up and he goes, "Huh, dykes on bikes." And I was like, "Jesus Christ!" Oh my God! I love the little finger like flick nod that Kurt Russell does to the cop when he's going away. I thought that was pretty
good. Yeah, because you should always show your face when you're in, on the lam.
Right? Yeah.
Like he hardly saw him, so he lowers it so he can make out his eyes. So now he can put it all together. Oh, that's the guy in the newspapers. No, I'm gonna do that just to give you the middle finger instead of just doing it like this, like from a distance.
Yeah,
bizarre. Ray thinks his sister is having sex with Cash. I mean, it is the most like heavy-handed. Like, let's do the thing where you think we're having sex, but we're not.
Yeah,
like slip it in. Oh, it's almost in. Yeah, keep just like that. Just keep doing that. Oh, because I'm slipping a disc back into his back.
Yeah, that's
a normal activity. If you have a slip disc, just have someone rub your back and it'll pop right in.
Yeah, I'm sure like everyone at a, like chiropractors, that's exactly what goes on in their offices.
All these idiots having surgery, what are they doing?
Well, then the weird part too is when Stallone walks in, instead of like, he like puts his hand over his head like, but then he stays, and I'm like, dude.
Yeah, he stays there.
Yeah, it's so weird. I'm like, dude, get the fuck out of there. That's what you think is going on.
Now this, okay, so this is the part of the movie though. To me, I know Chris never got into it, but I feel like around all this time, pretty much everything after they escaped is kind of a lull.
No, I agree.
Right? Like, meeting those people wasn't that big of a deal. Like, okay, so his car blew up. All right, well, you know, not like I never saw that before. And then shooting the guy's recording equipment, then going into the strip club and trying to meet Catherine, then getting on the bike. I mean, I guess that was something of entertainment. And then let's make believe I'm massaging you, but make him believe I'm having sex with you. Let's knock over the screen door and talk to our chief, and he tells us we have 24 hours to clear our names. Like, I don't know. I thought this movie had such potential in the beginning, and then it just kind of like lulls out for like 30 straight minutes. And it's weird that way.
Yeah, you can definitely tell that like whoever wrote this was definitely like, you got your main sequences, and then the rest of the filler was like filmed on the fly, like made up on the spot, which just didn't land.
And then we'll have some big ending in this, like,
Was this supposed to be like a mining operation?
Yeah, like, right, something like that.
A quarry?
A quarry, yeah, I think a quarry.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Chris, so you feel this area of the movie is the same as the beginning?
No, I didn't say that. It's just worse than the beginning. I mean...
So you understand the beginning was better, at least.
Yeah, it was better, yeah.
Okay.
It still wasn't good, though.
So we think it's good, and now it lulls. He thinks it was bad and got worse.
Yeah, it goes from being just like laughably bad to just being boring, which I don't care what kind of movie I'm watching, drama, comedy, horror, whatever. If a movie is boring me to where I'm like looking at the clock constantly, that's the worst thing in the world. It can be a terrible fucking movie, but if something is boring me, I'm done.
Yeah.
That's like I call it the phone test. It's like, at what point do I start just like looking on my phone and then looking up at this movie after?
Exactly. Like, if you start getting on your phone when you're watching a movie, that is the ultimate sign you're not into it.
Yeah. And like this point was definitely that for me. Yeah, that's when I was kind of like, oh, let me just whatever. But yeah.
Well, Chris, did you at least get a little chuckle when Stallone said that he never punched anyone out before?
No. I don't even have that in my notes. Did he say that?
Yeah. I thought for sure. Like, it's so ironic, Stallone saying he never punched anyone out before. I thought that was, like, another one of his, you know, don't forget about Rocky, guys. You all loved Rocky, right? I don't know. That's why I thought.
It's garbage. I like some of his lines. You know, he pulls it. They got that Irish guy or whatever he is, British guy, hanging upside down. And the guy's just still hamming it up. He's being hung up by his ankles, and he's like, piss off. I like this. The view's great up here. It's like... Can't do anything to rattle this guy.
No, they're gonna blow his fucking head off with a hand grenade.
Then they tape a fucking grenade.
I really like the grenade bit. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And Stallone says, you really look like shit in a ponytail.
And then they're like, he's standing in a puddle, but it ain't raining. I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, it started picking up around this part again, I think.
Yeah.
Once they get in that fucking cyber truck or whatever the fuck that thing is, it looks like the 80s version of the Tesla cyber truck that just came out a month ago.
Yeah,
like some kind of monstrosity fucking Uber truck that they try to make as big and bad as they possibly could.
It's basically the car version of the insane mega gun that is in Beverly Hills Cop 3. Like, it's got it's got everything in it that, like, you don't need. It's like, oh, God, this gun, that gun, this gun's got a microwave, it's got a fucking whatever, it's just got,
I love how Stallone doesn't even know what the nitrous oxide means, which makes sense, because when he hit the nitrous oxide in Cobra, it did absolutely nothing.
Right.
I didn't even catch that, oh my God.
Yeah, that's why he has no idea.
Oh, yeah, as soon as they showed that, I was like, fuck, he just fucking did this in Cobra.
I was going to say, he's just knocking every single role that he did before this, basically.
Yeah. It's like he's given the middle finger to every role he played before.
Like, I'm better than Hollywood. Fuck you. Wow, I didn't even realize all these little things. I like the Rocky thing, I didn't catch that either. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, they're idiots for letting the ponytail dude live because he just comes back.
Right. Like, wouldn't you have fucking just blown him away anyway?
So, yeah, what did they do with him? They just let him go, I guess?
Yeah.
Yeah, don't worry, guys. He's harmless. You know, the guy who set us up
and electrocuted us yesterday? No big deal.
Yeah. The guy who wasn't scared by being held off a building but didn't get scared until we put a grenade in his mouth. Yeah, he's not going to come back for revenge.
Oh, man. So, the two bad guys... Yeah, so remember those two bad guys? And like, you know, they're so worthless that we didn't even mention them. Like, the two older bad guys, the Chinese guy and the white guy?
Yeah.
They are interested. They're all ready for combat, loading up their guns.
This is amazing.
And they both get killed in, like, 5 seconds.
The Chinese guy just looks through the glass and he just gets fucking lit up. Right. Immediately.
Like, they're both dead 30 seconds after loading those guns. Like... Guys, why did you get involved? You're not those people. You clearly aren't even good at this. What were you doing fighting?
Yeah, you're supposed to have henchmen to do this kind of stuff for you.
And plus, Tango and Cash just went through this whole, like, field, dispatched how many hundreds of people or whatever it is, 50 people, whatever, to get to you, but you're gonna stop them.
Yeah, I like when Kurt Russell ramps that truck. And Stallone says, "Where did you learn to drive?" And he goes, "Stevie Wonder." And Stallone goes, "We're on fire." And Kurt Russell says, "We're cooking now." And it's like, how many fucking jokes can you try to cram into this thing?
One of my notes that I had on that, too, is like, I understand that this was a time period for it, but these ones just don't fucking land. It's like...
No, that's my whole fucking problem with this movie. There was too many jokes, and the jokes did not land.
Yeah.
They did not work. If they would have played this movie as just a pretty much straight-laced drama with a few jokes thrown in, I think it would have worked way fucking better.
Yeah, like going back, but the joke thing, even going back to the prison, like when they're first walking in and then, so Stallone says something like serious, and then Kurt Russell goes, "Oh, man," and then he's like, "What?" He's like, "I forgot my marshmallows." It's just like, what the fuck?
Like, exactly. That is a perfect example. It's just they were overdoing it.
Yeah.
I don't know who wrote this fucking movie.
It's a Feldman guy.
Did he write Kiwi's Big Adventure?
They really wanted to get across that Kurt Russell is fazed by nothing.
Yeah.
Like, it's all a joke to him. Everything is blowing up around you. You're getting crushed between two other gigantic, you know, utility vehicles, and you're still... cracking jokes. Like, everything is a joke. I don't know. I don't know if that bothered me or the fact that they didn't land that well bothers me more.
I think it's just they didn't land well, and there was too many. I don't know. I do like when Kurt Russell puts that grenade down Ponytail's pants and he blows up, and then he goes, "Fubar," big time.
Fubar.
Was that the introduction of the word fubar to the pop culture? Because I didn't even know what that term was until probably, I don't know, 20 years ago. And this came out in 89.
Yeah.
Well, it's not used a lot, even now, ever.
Right, but I just, when I was growing up, like, that just wasn't even a thing. But this came out in 89, and it was used in this movie, so I was just kind of surprised.
It never caught on that much, so I'm going to say it came from this movie.
Yeah, you might be right. I don't know.
The writer probably heard, like, his teenage son say it, and then he was like, "Oh, I'm going to use that." Like...
That's what the kids say nowadays.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
the ponytail dude has Catherine as a hostage. And even though he has the sister, it's one of these macho things, just like in Commando when Bennett had Jenny. He has Commando's daughter, but then Commando convinces him to put down the chicken shit gun, Bennett. Come on. You want to put that knife in me and look at me in the eyes when you turn it. And he goes, "I don't need the gun. I don't need the girl." And he goes after him. The same thing here, but in a way lower key and whatever. Like, this ponytail guy, for some reason, hand-to-hand combat fights him instead of just using the leverage of having your sister and then just shooting him.
I don't know, wait, the whole Commando thing, that's a discussion for that movie, but there's a also weird psychosexual element with Bennett in that movie and the Arnold thing, but you're in the definitely in the same like park there. But yeah, that's I think that's a trope that like I'm kind of tired of, is like the oh, like we have the leverage hostage, let's like they're also my another thing that we forgot to bring up, this place is almost set to fucking explode,
right?
Like yeah, like there's just happens to be the self-destruct system.
Oh, everybody has a self-destruct button.
Yeah, like but so there's a time limit for this shit, and this guy could die with them, but he wants to have the like luxury of fist fighting. Like, I, yeah, it's just so bizarre.
So weird.
So hold on, I just looked up the term FUBAR. It originated in World War II in 1944, so I was a little off.
Oh wow.
Yeah, you were 50 years off almost.
Before all of our times, wow.
Yeah. So it never caught on, period, really, except for this movie, I think. Now this guy has his sister. So now one guy has hostage. So what, did Perrette in the background take her off camera instantly? How did Catherine end up in the hands of Perrette after the ponytail guy?
Because he, like, shoves her away when he into, like, a doorway that closes. And then you have this other random... Because Kurt Russell and Stallone need to both fight someone.
Yeah, who is this guy Stallone's fighting?
Comes out of fucking nowhere. It's like they wanted to be like, oh, we need a guy who's like French and like kind of small. Let's get Van Damme. They're like, no, he's too much for this movie. Let's get a guy who's like him. Like, that's like, yeah, out of nowhere. You don't see this guy at all before the movie, it, like any point in this movie. And then he just shows up, but he's just there. And he doesn't even get a good payoff death either. He just flips him around the couch and he lands on a glass table and that's it.
That's it. Yeah. Who was that? Brett the Hitman Hart?
Yeah, the hair. Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, he shot Perrette because in this house of mirrors he was in, one of them was real or wrong. He had the ring on the wrong finger, and the other guy noticed that something...
He had like a monogram or something like that. Amazing.
So the building is set to explode. So do you guys notice? This is amazing. I just noticed this, so you probably didn't. Because I've watched this like 10 times. I finally noticed this. When this building explodes and they're looking at it, if you really pay attention, the building doesn't actually receive any damage.
Would they just blow like the special effect fire in front of it, basically?
Yeah.
Wow. This whole thing too, this guy's lair is weird but awesome. Like I love when in these movies, I love when the villain has a cool lair. This shit is just so weird. It's like so, like, he's just got tons of TVs, and then he's got the fucking magic mirror room. Like, what purpose is that for?
Yeah, what did you do when you weren't holding people hostage in there?
Yeah, he's got all these elaborate, like, this guy's lair was just absolutely bonkers.
Yeah, I don't know. Just weird. All right, Chris, clearly you're taking this review very seriously. So let's go ahead and rate this movie.
Well, hold on. I do like the very end of the movie when he says... No matter what you say, Ray, I've at least earned the right to date your sister. And he says, over my dead body, deal. And then they have that sweet little chuckle, do the high five class, which is frozen in time in the newspaper. Movie over. You can't end it any cheesier than that.
Yeah, like, do they go on to become partners or should they start working together on cases? Or, like, what happened after this? I need to know the Tango and Cash saga.
I do feel like... This movie, I didn't look this up, but I feel like this was a successful movie, like at the box office, unless I'm just I was 14, 13, almost 14 when this came out, and I feel like it was a thing back then. Like, this movie was talked about.
It was definitely, so, like, setting up to be a franchise. Sure.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I'm kind of surprised they never made another one.
I think this style of movie phased out, right? Because this was technically, this came out, wasn't it like the last movie of the 80s that came out? Like it came out
December 22.
Late 89, yes.
So that's like, just those kind of movies just kind of phased out, which sucks. But I feel like this thing just feels like, it feels like very much like a 1989 movie.
Opening weekend, $6 million, and it grossed $63 million. It doesn't say what the budget was, though.
So yeah, $63 million in 1989/1990. That's a hit, man.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. I'm surprised they didn't do another one, unless they couldn't come to like compensation terms with Stallone. Stallone was probably like, "Fuck that, I'm on to bigger and better things."
I was going to say, I feel like Stallone probably has a big part in that.
I'm doing Cliffhanger now.
Oh, hey, fine by me. I fucking love Cliffhanger.
Or The Specialist, whatever. how many jokes out of five did not land for this movie, The Ghoul?
I didn't see this for the first time until probably 2017. It was just like one of my blind spots. I bought it randomly on Blu-ray on Amazon when I was buying a bunch of movies. Watched it. I actually really enjoyed it. Just watching it, not doing it like we did for this review. Even doing it this review, I still remember liking it a lot. And it's, at the very least for me, it's fun. And I think the reason why I'm probably going to give this score is a lot due to Kurt Russell and because I just love these just mindless action movies.
Right.
This is a 3.5 one-liners out of 5 for me. But that's also, I wouldn't even say nostalgic because I only just first saw this not even 10 years ago. But yeah, like I said, the Kurt Russell and just the love of action movies in general just made this solid for me. So,
wow. Nice. Okay, I'll go next. So how many jokes out of 5 did not land for this in this movie? I like it. So 3 out of 5. It has that lull, but the lull is not unwatchable. It's not like a hugely painful lull. It has moments to it and stuff like that. But I will say, I didn't even see, you guys had a lot of fun with that whole final thing in the car Owen made and them going through and shooting people and all that. To me, that action sequence was not signature enough. It was a little too generic for me. Like, it didn't have signature moments or things I remember at all. And I could remember like so many from a lot of my favorites. And that was always just like a big blur to me. So that's why I don't rate like this higher. It probably would if like that whole ending would have been better, and those two guys, those old guys, lasted more than 30 seconds, and then we didn't have like a random fight with the ponytail guy and Bret Hart. Like, I probably would rate this better, you know. But because of that, I just like it. So 3 out of 5 for me. So how many jokes out of 5 did not land for you, Chris?
So, like I said, I saw this one time, like 15 years ago. I didn't remember anything about it, so this was basically like watching it for the first time again. I thought the comedy was way too overboard. I thought Stallone was not the right person to deliver those lines. I thought the action, for the most part, was pretty stock, pretty generic. For the most part, there were a few parts that did make me smile. And I mean a few, just a few. I would never, ever watch this movie again unless you had a gun to my head, because I'm anemic and I need more iron in my diet.
Well, if we had a grenade in your mouth and it was taped.
Or if you had a grenade in my mouth. I'm bald. I'm just going to grow a ponytail back here in honor of this movie. The best I can give this movie out of 5. Now, remember, I strictly rate on entertainment value. When the movie's over, how much did I enjoy it? I don't care who's in it. I don't care what the effects are. I don't care who directed it. Whatever. 1.5 out of 5.
Wow.
I was expecting a 0, honestly.
But I will say that the score of this movie was excellent.
Oh,
that's a good point. There were a couple spots where I was like, okay, this is that sweet 80s, you know, saxophony,
synth, pop, yes.
When I hear that stuff, that does touch me, because so many movies that I watched when I was growing up had that. So that part is cool.
It had all the makings to be a great movie, a great buddy cop movie. It really did. It had a great cast.
If this was made like 2 or 3 years earlier, it would have been probably way more successful. Like, as far as people receiving it and stuff like
that. Yeah, there's like this weird, like there's 80s movies, there's 90s movies, but then there's like this period from like 89 to 91 where they kind of just bled into each other. And it's like they're pulling from two different decades. And I don't know, sometimes it just doesn't work. It's like, are they trying to be an 80s movie or are they trying to be a 90s movie? So, I don't know.
It's like, I see, like, because 89, even in movies in general, because, like, look at, like, especially for genre movies, you get Halloween 5, Elm Street 5. I love Jason Takes Manhattan, but that's like...
Yeah!
Yeah, but that's like a thing, like, nobody, like, yeah.
Excellent movie.
Tango and Cash, but yeah, like, but you're getting stuff like that. But like the 89 to like 91 phase, like you say, Chris, it feels almost like when you're like the last of like three people at a party, and like everyone else is gone, and it's dying down, and you're like, yeah, I think it's time for me to go, like, wrap it up.
Yeah, but then you get a gem like Death Warren in there and stuff like that. So
that is true. Yeah, you get one, the one guy, one of the people who's still around is still fun and wants to go.
Yeah, that guy's still cool.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah. Oh, don't put.
People listening right now, I wish you could see Alex's face.
That was wild.
Chris just threw Jason Takes Manhattan across the room onto the carpet where Point Break movies are.
And it will stay there until the end of fucking time.
What, are we going to have like 14 movies piled up here? What, every time we love something, you're just going to throw it across the room?
Is the floor movie like a sign of like Chris hates this movie?
I don't know.
No, actually, it started out, I had the Point Break Blu-ray laying there because I was going to sell it on eBay because I bought the 4K. And we just happened to record, and Alex was like, hey, that's my favorite movie of all time. So I just left it there, and then I put the 4K there. So now Jason Takes Manhattan's going to stay there. Look how perfectly it fucking landed. I threw it over my shoulder.
That was a fucking throw.
It's
holy
even
shit.
Faced the right way.
Yeah. Wow. Dude, that's perfect.
So what do? Just vacuum around this?
I don't vacuum in here.
Oh, okay. That's great.
I do have to give a shout out to someone I work with, a lady named Gay Brown, because when I told her what we were reviewing this weekend, I said Tango and Cash. And she started talking about the Big Red Dog. And I was like, after like a minute, I was like, dog, what? She thought I was talking about Turner and Hooch.
Oh,
she was like,
god.
Oh my god, you guys are reviewing that? And I was like,
isn't Hooch what they call the drink in Death Warrant?
That's what they call like liquor.
Oh, that fucking prune juice they were drinking?
We should have talked about that.
Yeah,
Hooch is like we forgot to touch on the prune drink.
Wow, this guy. Well, we could have all said if we would have drank it or not, or trusted the guy who handed it to Van Damme.
Prison, I'm definitely drinking it. You kidding me?
Yeah, no, I don't care if it kills me, honestly.
I would drink anything in prison.
Right, I'd be like, yeah, well, what do you got? Acid? Let me see. So, that was Tango and Cash. We're doing a lot of Stallone, so you can tell that Chris is, like, the one of the founding members of this podcast, right?
Hey, I didn't pick this movie, motherfucker.
Well, the ghoul did. See, gotta blame him. We were looking for two prison movies to do.
I'm going to cut him some slack because he's new and he's good.
Do you want to hear the ironic part of this?
Freshman fuck up, please. I guess one.
We wanted two prison movies, so we said, let's do Death Warrant and Lock Up with Stallone. And then the ghoul goes, no, not that one, because we didn't want to do Lock Up. So he goes, how about Tango and Cash?
That's only because you said you didn't want to do Lock Up. I would have watched Lock Up because that's on my blind spot for Stallone, so I would have done it.
No, but isn't it great that we couldn't get away from Stallone even though we left his movie?
Just had to have it in there.
I'm glad you did pick this, though, because I do think this review is more entertaining than what we could have called from Lock Up, because that movie's just, it's not bad, it's just kind of dull.
It seemed from what I've like read about it, because I still got to watch it. It seems like it's way more serious than like it's like your standard action movie.
Absolutely. Like it's not a bad film. It's worth watching. It just doesn't have a lot of rewatchability factor to it.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I can see that.
All right. Thanks, guys. We'll see you next week.